From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes the second of two messages entitled The Secure Standing of the Justified, part of this series in the book of Romans. The text is found in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 5, where Paul has set forth the glorious results of justification by faith. According to verse 1, the first consequence of justification is peace with God. Verse 2 speaks of the access Christ has given us into the grace of God. As Dr. Cairns has been emphasizing, Christ not only introduces us into the presence of God, He also maintains that secure standing. Paul goes on to speak of rejoicing in hope of the glory of God. Because God's love for His people does not change, afflictions can be borne with joy. Finally, the hope of the believer does not end in disappointment, for Christ's resurrection guarantees our salvation. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 6. Let us not sleep as do others. There are many ways of promoting Christian wakefulness. Among the rest, let me strongly advise Christians to converse together concerning the ways of the Lord. Christian and hopeful, as they journeyed towards the celestial city, said to themselves, To prevent drowsiness in this place, let us fall into good discourse. Christian inquired, Brother, where shall we begin? And hopeful answered, Where God began with us. Then Christian sang this song, When saints do sleepy grow, let them come hither, and hear how these two pilgrims talk together. Yea, let them learn of them in any wise, thus to keep ope their drowsy, slumbering eyes. Saints' fellowship, if it be managed well, keeps them awake, and that in spite of hell. Christians who isolate themselves and walk alone are very liable to grow drowsy. Hold Christian company, and you will be kept wakeful by it, and refreshed and encouraged to make quicker progress in the road to heaven. But as you thus take sweet counsel with others in the ways of God, take care that the theme of your converse is the Lord Jesus. Let the eye of faith be constantly looking unto Him. Let your heart be full of Him. Let your lips speak of His worth. Friend, live near to the cross, and thou wilt not sleep. Labor to impress thyself with a deep sense of the value of the place to which thou art going. If thou rememberest that thou art going to heaven, thou wilt not sleep on the road. If thou thinkest that hell is behind thee, and the devil pursuing thee, thou wilt not loiter. Would the manslayer sleep with the avenger of blood behind him, and the city of refuge before him? Christian, wilt thou sleep whilst the pearly gates are open, the songs of angels waiting for thee to join them, a crown of gold ready for thy brow? Ah, no. In holy fellowship continue to watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation.
Serve Him till I die. I am on the battlefield for my Lord. I was so sad and lonely, a guilty sinner too. I heard the voice of Jesus say, there is room for you. I took the Master's hand and I joined his chosen band. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I am on the battlefield for my Lord. I am on the battlefield for my Lord. And I promised him that I surely would serve him till I die. I am on the battlefield for my Lord. I left my friends and kindred bound for the promised land. The grace of God upon me, the Bible in my hand.
In desert lands I trod,
crying, sinner, come to God. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord, my Lord.
I am on the battlefield for my Lord. I am on the battlefield for my Lord. And I promised him that I surely would serve him till I die. I am on the battlefield for my Lord. I am on the battlefield.
I am on the battlefield for my Lord.
From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
Now, I don't think Paul liked suffering any more than you do or I do. But he took seriously the words of the Lord Jesus, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." And the comfort makes the mourning well worthwhile. "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and shall speak evil of you. Blessed are ye when men will persecute you." Happy? Glorying? Like the early apostles in Acts 5:41, they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. Like the Apostle Paul himself in that great 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians, verse 9 and 10, he said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Now here's Paul's deduction. Remember, he has been praying that God would take away a debilitating physical affliction. It was a hindrance. It was the messenger of Satan to buffet him. Understand what he's saying. This messenger of Satan to buffet him, it was like somebody hammering at his body and at his soul. He was in a fight. He was suffering immensely. And he was crying to God, "Lord, this is hindering me in my itinerant ministry of the gospel. Take it away." And his only answer was, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And Paul, in one of the most beautiful statements of submission and faith in all of Scripture, I can see him bow his head and say, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory." A minute ago he was praying, "Take it away." Now he's saying, "Lord, I will rather glory in my infirmities, in order that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Don't believe the devil's lie that if you're sick or afflicted or weak or in trouble, that therefore God is so angry with you that you cannot be of use to Him. God is saying the very opposite to Paul here. "Paul, I only use broken vessels." Want you to understand that? Every preacher I have ever known who has ever used of God in any significant way has first been brought to the place of utter brokenness and self-emptying. "Therefore," says Paul, "I take pleasure." And I have to confess, I find that so difficult to understand. But he says, "I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong." The New Testament church had a very different outlook on suffering than we have today. But theirs was the right one. We tend to look on suffering as something that God could not intend for us. They looked at it as something that God did intend for them and for their good. We look at chastisement as God being angry with us. They look at chastisement as God purifying us, preparing us, honing us for greater usefulness. And that's why Peter in 1 Peter 4, 13-14 wrote, "Rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you On their part is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. So when Paul says, we boast in tribulation, he's saying, listen, in the midst of tribulation, in the midst of all this suffering, I will prove God's sustaining grace, and I will prove His sanctifying grace to uphold me now and to prepare me for greater usefulness here, for glory hereafter. I believe that's His meaning because of how He ends. Tribulation worketh patience. The word patience in English simply means to suffer. It's a suffering. In English, I say that because of its root. It comes from a Latin verb that simply means to suffer. Patience, therefore, is by us sometimes thought of as sort of a stoic acceptance. But that's not the New Testament meaning. It is a very active thing. It means patient endurance. It means constancy. Tribulation works constancy. And that patient endurance, that constancy, worketh experience. The word means proof or evidence of fidelity under testing. In other words, this is God's way of turning an inexperienced recruit into a tested veteran to be trusted in the work of God. And this experience works hope. In other words, when you've gone through all this, far from it driving you from the Lord, the more you consider Christ in the midst of your suffering, and remember, He suffered as no one ever suffered, that ours is but for a moment, the more you'll be strengthened in your confidence as you prove God. For thank God He doesn't fail us now, and He doesn't fail us hereafter. As James says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he's tried, he received the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. The final thing I'll say is this, and I like this above them all in many ways, not because it's intrinsically more important, but because this is the end of the story. The hope of believers will never disappoint them. This hope maketh not ashamed. As Isaiah puts it, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a foundation, for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth in Him shall not make haste. Peter quoted that. He that believeth in Him shall not be confounded. Paul quoted it in Romans 9:33. He that believeth in Him shall not be ashamed. You see what he's saying? If your hope is in Christ, it will never disappoint you. I was reading the statement of John Calvin's. A loose translation of it would be, the issue of the believer's salvation is most certain. I like that. The issue of the believer's salvation is most certain. The hymn writer said, on the golden streets of heaven, all men hope to walk someday. But for very many, that hope will be disappointed. But I want to tell you, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you've repented and believed the gospel, you're justified by faith, then you have a hope that will never disappoint you. So we enjoy absolute security, because our justification is founded on the merits and mediation of Christ. It guarantees us peace with God, His favor, friendship, and fellowship. And it carries with it the confidence that God has guaranteed us to be partakers of His glory forever. How will I finish? As I reviewed all this in my study, that's the question I had to ask. So what? My mind went to what Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, if any man gives up the justifying righteousness of Christ, if any man repudiates the finished work of Christ, if any man goes out to meet God in any other basis, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back to perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. You are either those who draw back from the righteous merits of Christ to perdition, or those who believe to the saving of the soul. Make sure tonight, where you stand, that it's securely, assuredly, in Christ. Justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, bless Thy word. Write it on our hearts and use it to the saving of the lost, to the edification and the comfort of the saints, to the strengthening in faith of all Thy believing people. Lord, in the midst of all the crises of life, turn our eyes upon Jesus, that we may look full in His wonderful face. Lord, we pray that however much we may lament ourselves and our own reactions to the circumstances in which we live, oh God, grant that we may never cease to boast of Christ, to glory in the cross. And, O Lord, even in tribulation, grant that Thou wilt keep the hope brightly burning before us. We thank Thee for the security and the assurance of saints, simple believers in Jesus Christ. Lord, let us live in the joy of that assurance, and in its power go out to reach the lost for Christ. For thank God tonight, Calvary has made a full atonement. Hear our prayer and part us now with Thy very richest blessing, and be the abiding portion of Thy blood-bought people, both this night and evermore. We pray in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking.
Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.